This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John-Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. Every Monday after game days, John Kime's going to join us, and he joins us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, insider from ESPN, ESPN.com. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great.
So they've won the openers with new coaches before, but this one felt different, John.
Well, yeah, because they were tested more than they have been in a lot of those other games. And I just think the way, you know, you're watching that game and it's 17-0, and you know that this was not an off season that should have set them up for any sort of success early, right? Because of all the, not just because of the off field issues, but because they just, the lack of practice time together, except for the summer, and it just takes time to get used to guys, et cetera. So like, okay, you know, you figure there's going to be an early struggle, but I think one of the things that Rivera has been big on is trying to develop a level of toughness with his team. And I think that's what you saw come out. And that to me was the difference, right? And I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, I still think, you know, they're a work in progress, but you want to see a team take on the personality of a coach. And I feel like that kind of was happening, over the summer and then also yesterday. And, you know, so I think that's one of the reasons why, to me, it felt different. And also just because you're coming back from 17-0. I think we know that in some past years that wouldn't have happened. Just especially given the situation, I think if you had a veteran team with some other coaches, then yeah, you could see it. But this is a young team with a new coach after a brutal offseason, and they still managed to do it.
Yeah, and what was so impressive about it is that it was led by the defense, right? I can't remember when the last time that we were just sort of led by the defense. The defense was the exciting side of the football to watch. And it takes a little pressure off the quarterback, too. And I guess you got to start with Chase, right? The impact he had. And you could see clearly Ryan Kerrigan benefits from it, because I thought immediately, oh, my God, look, he's got fresh legs. And every time Ryan comes in, what a load. And just everybody contributed. It was just so exciting to watch. It was all led by the defense.
It was. And I think what happened, too, they definitely took advantage of a line that was missing some guy, you know, missed Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it's not an excuse. I think what they did was very smart. So, like, for example, there were a couple times I felt like they really tested the Eagles' communication up front. So on Kerrigan's first sack, for example, he rushes inside, but you have Apke coming off the corner. So the tackle slides out to get the corner, but the running back was already there. So who's got Kerrigan? Well, nobody had him. So he gets through. There was fresh legs. I thought there was good coordinated blitzes at times. I saw multiple times with the blitzes from the linebackers. And, you know, I think one of the first pressures that Bostic got, I think it was on the first series, now it got a touchdown, but it was just the way they came through the line, the way they coordinated the blitzes, the tackles rushing wide to create some space in the middle and creating confusion up front. So I think that was a big factor too. But yeah, when you're bringing in Ryan Kerrigan as a third, you know, and your second group rotation wise, that's really good depth. And I agree. I think this is going to be good for him because he doesn't have the burden of having to play the run all the time and doing this and that. He can come in and rush the passer for the most part. He's got to do more, but I just think it's going to help him maybe extend a little bit in his career.
John, you've talked about this in the past, but Jimmy Moreland just has a knack for making plays.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And I think a difference this time is, like last summer, we would see him in practice make plays. And of course, like, you know, Jimmy Moreland was another interception. But what you weren't seeing with the tweets were the three or four plays after that where he would get confused on a play or he'd bite hard on a play and going by instincts rather than just by more what should I do. And so for on certain routes, guys would create separation against him because he didn't always know what he should be doing or maybe what he should be looking for. It was just a lot of natural instincts on his part, and that can help you and it can hurt you. Well, now you combine those instincts with, I think, a guy who knows how to play the position better and more consistent, and you saw that in practices as well. And I think, you know, yesterday I thought what he did well on, first of all, I felt he had a pretty good game overall, and he came up and made some nice tackles. For a guy his size, it's impressive. He'll stick his nose in there. But on the interception, what he also did well was he knew the pressure was coming. They had a blitz coming from that side. He knew he could sit on the route. He knows the ball has to come out quick, and he, you know, was basically see it, break on the ball, and that's what he did. So, you know, I think you combine the instincts with a guy who probably has more knowledge at the position, and I think that's why people really like him.
And, John, the secondary thrived yesterday with the two picks, one of them from Moreland, made DeSean Jackson and Ertz outside of his touchdown basically non-factors. I mean, we all remember what DeSean did in the opener last year. He nuked the secondary. So to be able to basically make him, you know, a guy with two grabs on seven targets, they have to be happy with that.
Yes, and there were a couple shots that they had that Wentz's accuracy got worse as the game went on, too. Yeah. And I think that helped. And I think that's a result of pressure. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely times where the coverage worked to the pass rush advantage. It gave them that extra second they needed to get home because not every sack was just a matter of boom, you're through, you're on them. There were a couple times where they needed good coverage and they got it when they needed it. And there were some issues early on, and they attacked the middle of the field. And I think there were some, they started using Cameron Curl, their third safety, in some of the two tight end sets. And I think that made a difference. So that helped the coverage. But, you know, they did do a good job. I mean, listen, if you can, you don't allow a huge play to DeSean like that, that's good. Because as we've seen last year, he changed that game. And it was all based off of miscommunication, but just botched coverage. One guy sees one thing, one guy sees another, and there goes DeSean. And that's what I think they have to be happy about, is that part didn't happen.
So Dwayne clearly struggled in the first half. And his accuracy was kind of in question for the entire game, but he was much better in the second half, certainly in the fourth quarter. Now, he was getting some short fields. Defense really helped him there. But so how would you grade Dwayne for the game, and then what changed in the second half? Because he looked a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's funny because I was talking to Mike Jones, and I talked about this on my podcast after the game, just about I felt like one of the things I felt like he did well is he competed. And he didn't get down on himself, even though it was, you know, 17-0, and it wasn't looking good, and he wasn't playing. He wasn't, like, you're right, he was inaccurate. And, you know, you see the high missed throws in practice, and even, listen, you saw that in college. That's where he'd miss. He was missing guys short, too. And, you know, so that was a problem. And I think a couple things probably helped settle him, just my own observations, which was, you know, he had that run. And sometimes you just need a play that you make that's a big play that can get you going, right? Or settle you down a little bit. And I feel like that did. There were some issues early on, I felt like, with protection. They've got to get better on that left side of the line. And I think there were some issues there. That's not on him, but there's the cumulative toll of any sort of hit. And I felt like it showed in the, you know, he didn't look as relaxed in the pocket as as you would have liked early on. And so I think that run, and then right before half, those two slant passes that he completed on the touchdown drive to get some points, and it gives you some confidence. I mean, you can at least go in the locker room feeling good. I think that helped too. And then Ron Rivera was talking about this about Scott Turner. I think he felt like he was getting a little bit too cute at times in that first half. And, you know, with a lot of the two running back sets that they like, and the second half it was less of that. And I think, you know, it just lent itself to maybe an offense more conducive to what, for Dwayne, just with three receiver sets and all that. So I think that helped too.
What about the up-tempo stuff, right? It's obvious to all of us that he seems to do a little better in those sets. Can we see more of that? And why do you think he does better there?
That's a good question. And I think you'll see, I don't know if you'll see more. I think you'll see it continue to be used. I don't think you can just do it all the time, because what happens with that is, and they did do it early, and it's funny because those things get pointed out when it does well, right? But when they have those hurry-up series and it doesn't do well, people kind of forget. And there was one early in the game where they tried that and it didn't work. So I think, you know, and when that happens, then you're putting the defense right back out there, right? So I think that's one of the things where it's like, it's why I don't know that you're going to use it much more than you did. But what I do like it with it is a change of pace and a tempo. And I love that they did it inside on the, I think it was a third down and one at the goal line, and they immediately went to a hurry up. And, you know, that's something that that they often did at Ohio State in those situations, exactly what they did. And they'd hurry back to the line, you get him in there, and it was, you just create a little bit of confusion, and it helps. So I do think he seems to be comfortable with it, and I wouldn't be surprised if you use it a little bit more. Certainly not as an all-game thing, but, like, you know, just for the change of pace, I think it's really good. And I don't, you know, I think one of the things that helps too is it allows, when you have to go like that, it allows, or it kind of forces the defense to play a little bit more basic, and so the reads are a little bit better for a quarterback. And I think that's one of the benefits for any quarterback.
Joined by John Kine from ESPN.com. He's going to join us every Monday after Washington football team games at 7 a.m. Were you surprised to see Peyton Barber get the 17 carries? I was a bit surprised by the distribution of carries for him, and he's clearly who Rivera and company like down by the goal line.
Well, you're right about that. And, you know, it was hard to know how that was going to break down, because you just – during practices, you see them testing things. You don't see what the emphasis is going to be. What I always knew is that they really liked Peyton Barber. And so the fact that he got a lot of carries, no, I'm not surprised. And I think Gibson has the chance to be the most dynamic. J.D. McKissick, I think, will be good in his third down role. But Barber is a guy that I think they know more of what he can do as a runner. It's just a pure runner, and I think that's where he gives them a little bit of an advantage over, like, a Gibson, who I think is still learning that position, and just also, like, just for example, learning how to lower the pad level through the line. And so Barber gives you an experienced running back in those situations, and it certainly definitely seems like he'd be the guy down near the goal line for those reasons. And I don't know if it's going to be like that every game for him. I think if those two back sets where Gibson can thrive are start to work, I think you'd see those in a game. I think you're going to see, it sounds like more of a committee situation. So I don't know that it's going to be in every game where Peyton Barber is going to get 17 carries. I think it's like, what's working in this game? Okay, stick with it. I think that's what it kind of seemed to feel like yesterday. So we'll see.
John, appreciate the time. It's John Kine from ESPN, ESPN.com. We only had three Victory Mondays to celebrate last year, so it's nice to start off with a dub.
And you know what? It's funny because who knows where this goes? And, you know, all you know is that they start off with a win, and it's a good tone-setting win after a really long, long off-season for them.
No question about it. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, coming up next, we're going to open up the phone lines, do something a little bit different. The phone number is 800-636-1067. They get the win. They come back 27 straight unanswered points, 8 sacks. What popped for you? What jumped out at you the most? If you had to pick one single thing, one play, something in the box score, what popped for you as a fan of the Washington football team in the win? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a Victory Monday celebrating the Washington football team's first win under Ron Rivera, 27-17 over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles had won 6 straight in that series, so they snap that streak. Carson Wentz had owned them, and early in the game you thought, man, this is going to continue. But the defense turned it around. They get the win. We want to hear from you. Is there one play or something that completely popped for you? I'm going to lead it off. You guys know I'm a box score guy, and there's a lot to look at when you look at the defensive stats. But what popped for me is Matt Ioannidis, who's not even a starter, he not only had 1.5 sacks, he hit the quarterback 4 times. He led the team in quarterback hits. So that tells you how deep this team is, that they have the 4 first-rounders starting in, you know, Allen and Payne in the middle, and Chase Young and Sweat on the outside, but then they bring in Ryan Kerrigan and Ioannidis, and Ioannidis makes an impact in limited play, hitting the quarterback 4 times. That is huge.
Well, that for me was Logan Thomas, most targeted WFT player with 8. He had 4 grabs for 37 and an end zone trip as well, and I've got to think that the brass there would love to just, you know, carbon copy. I know that's an old term, but just make copies of that performance and get that every week. And look, is it sexy? Is it flashy? Is it Travis Kelce? No, but I'd rather have that constant and a guy that I know is going to get me 35 or 40, maybe 50 receiving yards than the what seemed like the eternal hoping for, well, let's hope Jordan Reed can get on the field today over the past few years. With this Washington squad. So what Logan Thomas did and his involvement in the offense, that popped for your boy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'll give you this. I'm going to cheat and give you 2.
Okay.
Because when was the last time Washington's had 27 unanswered points? And that was it. I mean, when was the last time that happened?
I can't recall.
That's just an unbelievable turnaround. Mm-hmm. And kind of playing off of what JP said, I was going to go with, and I still will, the 15 total quarterback hits by the team in general, right? Mm-hmm. So JP pointed out Ioannidis had 4. John Bostic burst through and hit the quarterback 3 times. Chase Young had a couple and stripped the ball a few times. Should have had 2 forced fumbles, actually. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Allen hit the quarterback. Ryan Kerrigan hit him a couple times. Montez Sweat got in there. Daron Payne got in there. It was a total team effort. Carson Wentz looked like a completely different guy after about the first quarter. And if you can get anything close to that kind of effort, they're going to give Washington a chance week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious to take the pass rush, but I'm going to take a play. And I thought it was the momentum shifter of the game. Washington clearly had the momentum at the end of the third quarter, but they were still trailing by 3. And Peterson decides on 4th and 4 to go for it with Wentz. Probably should have punted there because they were at midfield, and maybe you pin Washington down. It's not like Washington was moving the ball on long drives. But he decided to go for it, And Bostic, you mentioned him, Eric. Bostic comes up the middle untouched on a blitz on 4th and 4.
Mm.
And they sack Wentz. They get the ball, another short field. They end up going down and kicking the field goal, and they tie the game. But I thought that was the momentum shifter. Watching the game, I said, that's it. Washington's going to win this game because of that. Maybe Peterson thought that he had to give the defense a little breather at that point, but I thought that was a bad move. And
it's also what Peterson does, though. He goes for
that,
it.
Yeah, I thought that was the momentum shifter in the game.
As a Washington fan, I was actually offended by them going for those three passing plays there right before the half. Like, remember how they yes. called timeout or whatever?
They were trying to make it 24-0.
Yeah, well, I was just a complete lack of respect for the defense. I was offended by it because I don't think a lot of teams would do that.
I would say trying lack to of score? Respect.
No, not by trying to score, but just like, you know, typically guys would just kneel there, yeah. take your lead or whatever, but
maybe
they just felt like they weren't scared at all of our pressure.
Maybe that's just
at that
dinosaur
point.
Thinking. Just yeah. kneeling. Take advantage of the time
maybe,
on the clock.
Maybe.
I think they weren't scared of the
They
offense
weren't scared of
point.
The pressure. They weren't yep. scared of our offense. They just weren't scared.
All right, let's go to the phones. What popped for you? 800-636-1067. Let's go to Kenny in Owings. Kenny, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
First time caller, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
What's hey, up, buddy?
I told your producer that I thought it was pretty much Deron Payne's forced fumble early on in the game. I think it was maybe early third quarter. But actually, I want to go out on a limb here, and this is unorthodox. Troy Apke laying that lumber and catching that personal foul, I mean, that kind of fires the defense up even more, too. I know you guys are probably going to dismiss that, but sometimes people get alligator arms when they get laid, you know, lumber, like, on that level. And for me, I thought that was a turning point. I thought it gave the secondary confidence, too. But anyway, kudos to the Washington football team. I think this is the best game we've played since the NFC East clinching title in 2012 against the Giants. And it's looking up, guys. Thanks.
The problem with the Apke play is yeah. he gave them that was a third and long. He gave them a first down, and then two plays later, he got beat by Goddard on the left side. Mm-hmm. So maybe it fired up the team, but they gave up a score.
The penalties they've got to be cleaned up heading into the Arizona game. I mean, that the Apke play, Landon Collins getting the 15-yarder out of bounds. The jumping
offside.
The
Collins one was stupid.
Yeah, that was dumb.
You just got to tidy those up.
I'm not saying Apke couldn't have played that play better, but I thought the analysts did a really good job showing the dilemma he faced.
Yeah.
There were two tight ends going vertical. So he kind of stayed in the middle because he didn't know if Wentz was going to go to Ertz or Goddard. Both of them looked like they were about to get open, and he just ended up being late.
It was probably not much.
And it was
a
perfect
there.
Throw. That was a perfect throw. By Carson Wentz.
And Kevin Pierre-Lewis cannot cover tight ends. He got beaten on the first touchdown with Ertz. He got beat on that one, too. So they've got to – Del Rio's got to decide, all right, who am I going to put on a tight end, a good tight end in the future? Because
he
can't cover those guys.
He also had a ball right through his hands, I believe.
Here's what didn't pop for me yesterday. The fact that DeSean Jackson was in and out of the lineup because he was probably cramping. Or had a very minor tick.
Well, they said he had a shoulder. He had a shoulder.
Yeah, you've never seen that before.
No, never seen that.
Let's go to Larry on line 2 in Norfolk. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys, I'm excited. It's Victory Monday.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, Monday.
Play the music, Valdez.
Monday.
Play it underneath.
Victory Monday in Washington.
It's Monday.
Go ahead, Larry.
I've been a fan since 67, and we've been through some hard times. And I'm Norfolk, Virginia. I work in the Navy Yard, and a lot of people, I'll tell you, the flags are flying. People are wearing their jerseys. You think we won the Super Bowl. I was at Walmart last night. People, my wife got tired. Herbie Pup talked to me because I had my jersey on. She says, please don't wear that. You're not going to get out of the store. But I'm just saying, DeSean Jackson has beaten us so many times. It was so nice to see him not be a factor. It was nice when they were gang tackling. It's like one guy would, you know, Wentz has beaten us so many times when he gets away and then he makes a big play. And to see somebody standing like Kerrigan to pick the ball up, that's why you gang tackle, because something bad could happen, and then you can get to make something good out of it. I'm excited about that. And like, I'm gonna tell you one more thing. Is tonight the Giants play Pittsburgh, and they're 7-point underdogs or something like that. And if they lose that game, who would have thought that we might be leading the division after week one? I know it's only 1 week, guys, but I take each win as it comes, because you know you never know how many you're going to get, so I'm going to enjoy each one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thank you. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, we are at the top of the NFC. It doesn't matter what the Giants do. Maybe we're tied with them, but we're top of it.
And you love it when Washington wins and Dallas loses, especially on primetime television. Well, it's always a good thing.
Except that I bet on Dallas. So that kind of hurt a little bit.
Maybe that did hurt.
Okay, because I need Saquon to do absolutely nothing tonight. Now, I know that's impossible. He's probably going to have 27 points.
Right.
But I need it because I'm leading by 10.
Ooh. You're on team fade Saquon.
I've got who do I have? Oh, I have Judy going, Jerry Judy. He probably won't do much. And he's got Quan. So I'm probably a big loser.
Probably one of these.
Yeah. All right, let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to line three. Let's go to Mark in Richmond. Mark, what's up, man? You're on with the Jucks.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Victory Monday, sir.
What popped for you, Mark?
For me, it was Chase Young and the defensive line. I mean, even when they were down, I knew, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, we're down, but, you know, they don't have a running game. And they didn't have a running game. And just to see Chase Young, you know, just live up to the hype from the first play all the way to the end of the game, that's really refreshing to see. And, you know, I had to stay up and watch that Dallas game, which is what I did. I tell you, when the Redskins play the Cowboys and anybody else, you're gonna have to have a running game in order to beat this team. Because if not, they're going to lock in, they're going to make adjustments, and that defensive line is going to get after people, and it's going to continue next week when we hunt down that little guy, Kyler Murray.
That little shrimp. He had over 100 yards yesterday, so he's going to be tough to corral. But
yeah.
I think the tougher guy to corral is DeAndre Hopkins, who had 15 catches.
Him too. It's a good duo, apparently.
When Kyler sits back in the pocket, he's so small, he can't see over anybody, and he's got to bounce. If he bounces, he's trouble. But if he sits, if you can contain him and keep them in the pocket, then he does struggle.
Doesn't he drop back really deep?
He's got to. You can't see.
Yeah. All right, let's go to James.
Got to drop back 20 yards.
James in Richmond. We are blowing up in Richmond, Cakes.
That's
James.
Good. That's a good thing.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, James?
I got two things, man. Adjustments and that defensive line.
Right.
I've been a fan for the longest time, and no time has I ever seen Jay Gruden adjust in game. Them boys adjusted in game. They came back out. That defensive line is crazy. Everybody got a sack except Tim Settle and Ryan Anderson on that front line. That's crazy. Their defense is off the chain. The secondary got some confidence. They're going to be all right later on in the season. That defense is crazy. And Gibson is going to be a man-child on that offense sooner or later, man. Our team, I was a little scared when they was down 17-0, and then that defense locked in and was pretty much a wrap. So we're going to be all right. We're going to shock some folks this year, for real.
That'd be great. Hopefully it's not a different story next week.
It shocked me when they dug out of a 17-0 hole. That did shock me.
Yeah.
I just thought they were on their way to like a 38-10.
But didn't you feel it building? Once it was 17-7, I actually thought, okay, you make a stop, you get it to 17-14, and then you got a game.
I did. The defense was playing well enough to keep them in it, but the offense was scuffling so much, at least through the first half, that I just didn't see them being able to cobble together enough points to get the win. But give them credit. They flipped
Eric,
the field.
You,
they had key turnovers.
What were you feeling like
position.
At 17-0?
Well, I mean, I was down, but I was so excited, honestly.
Just to watch.
Just to have it.
Yeah.
And I also thought to myself, they're not this bad. You know what I mean? I just knew that you're not going to go three and out every time. They're going to connect on some plays. And eventually they started to. So
it was
look, they were the beneficiary of some short fields. Let's be honest. It's not like they were marching 80 yards.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I think is going to be the formula for this team. Is this a defensive-led team? It just is. And I think that actually takes the pressure off of Haskins. He doesn't have to carry this load. He can rely on his defense to make plays.
Well, eventually he's going to have to carry more of it, but hopefully in the first, I don't know, month, maybe 6 weeks, the defense does play the pivotal role and helps him kind of get his legs underneath him and gain more confidence going forward. That's what
he
you have to hope
to
for.
He seems to have the confidence.
You know, he always says that Alex Smith is his mentor. If you go back to the Alex Smith formula, it wasn't pretty, but they were winning games when Alex Smith was a starter. You take care of the football, and that's going to win you a lot of games because the other team is going to commit turnovers. We're Taking your calls now at 800-636-1067. What popped for you in yesterday's game? We'll do one more segment of calls, and then we'll do the Junkies Blitz, go around the NFL at 8. Who's up next?
All right, let's go to Alonzo, line 2. Alonzo, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's going on? I think the thing that stood out for me is how they capitalize off the turnovers. That's something we're not used to. Yep. They're getting in the end zone, and they're not settling for a field goal.
With 3 or 4 in the red zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that really stood out for me, and with Riverboat Ron's reputation, it scares me how good this offense could be once they mature a little bit more.
Did you like going for it? Because I'm an old school conservative. I was kicked the field goal. I can't remember what it would have been. That would have taken the lead, right, at that point?
Yes.
To kick the field goal? Kick the field goal, take the lead, let the defense ride you out. He said, F it. He went for it.
I like the stones there. I appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, too. That was pivotal at that moment in the game. And with that style, we might lose a couple, but we're going to win some games, too, with it. So I like that call.
Right. Right. All right. Thank you, Lonzo. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'm ready to increase my win total.
Oh, you already?
I said you have to. If they beat the Eagles, you have to.
I got
to
wait a little bit.
I had them at 5. I'm not going to go crazy and make them a 9-win team.
If they beat Arizona and get to 2-0, then I'll consider it. But yeah. I need to.
Because you have them at what?
I have them at 5-11.
Yeah.
You did get them
I had them
five.
At 4.
I had them at 5.
I think it's 5.
I got them at 6. I'm
I'm not moving off that yet. But if they go to the desert and get to 2-0, then I might start reconsidering.
Well, then you go 2-0, and the percentages of making the playoffs historically is pretty damn high.
Right.
Well, I'm not thinking about playoffs yet, but I'm thinking.
Especially if you add a team.
Even if we lose to the Cardinals, which I'll always pick against the Cardinals, always. But even if we lose, you got Cleveland coming up behind it. So, I mean, you got a real good shot at 2-1.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. What popped for you? The single big moment or stat that jumped out at you from yesterday's win? It is a Victory Monday here on the Junkies. Coming back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Scott Turner, you've got so many things going on. There's crossing formation with the outside receiver, J.D. McKissic, into the flat quickly, and they just drop Logan Thomas in coverage.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Talking about what popped for you. That, of course, was Logan Thomas finding the end zone, completely confused the defense.
You're not going to find an easier touchdown than that.
Oh, so wide open.
I mean, couldn't have been
Cakes
more wide
have completed
open.
That pass.
Size. I'm glad you have confidence in me.
I just kept thinking about Bickle, though, after that play, because I knew he was going to come in and go, I told you, Logan Thomas, I've been on his back for the entire offseason.
We've been the lead conductors on the Logan Thomas / Antonio Gibson hype trains.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, look, he's a great athlete. You just knew he's a great athlete, and you know the fact that he had found a way to persevere and still be in the league, I just thought, you know what? This guy has potential. So we'll see. It was the first of many.
He doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to be a Hall of Fame level tight end.
He just has to be serviceable.
Just be decent. Just be good and play 16 games and catch 40 balls. That's all that's being asked of you.
Yeah, yeah. I still want to see a little more from some of the other guys out wide. But, you know, he clearly likes Sims. I'm curious about Inman. I'm curious. I want to see. I like his size. Cam Sims had a play on special teams, which was good to see. Was Gandy Golden? He was active. He just didn't play, right? He was active.
I think he was active.
Yeah.
They actually activated Cam Sims, too.
That's what I'm saying. Cam Sims had a play on special teams.
Let's go to the phones. What popped for you? 800-636-1067. Who's up?
All right. Let's go to Charles in Hampton. Charles, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, Charles. Great. How are you?
Just fine. What popped for me more than anything is the good common sense coaching done on the defensive side of the ball. You didn't have these big brain ideas, having Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan and Chase Young running around trying to play coverage. I never understood that kind of defensive strategy. These guys didn't get to this level covering nobody. They got to this level putting their hand in the dirt and doing what they do best.
Yeah. Well, I did see a couple times where Chase Young did drop back. There was a time where Montez dropped back, and I was frustrated. But I guess that's part of the zone blitz package. They're going to mix it up. But generally speaking, those guys were attacking the quarterback.
Yeah, let's keep those to a minimum. Let's keep the coverage to a minimum. Dull roar for this defense.
I mean, you want to talk about a waste of Chase's talent? Drop him back in coverage.
Well, whatever they did yesterday. I mean, 8 sacks. That exceeded everybody's expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, we were getting hyped saying that they could be, you know, last year we were stunned that they finished 10th in sacks. And we were getting hyped saying that maybe they could finish number one. Well, when you get 8 sacks in week one,
Right. It's absurd.
You better win. You better win that game.
It's not going to be like that every week, and it won't be like that next week against Kyler Murray for sure. But they can maybe pressure him into some bad throws. That's the whole thing.
And look, they benefited. Look, they went up against a backup right tackle and a backup right guard.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely benefited from that.
All right, let's go to line 5. Let's go to Ryan in Winchester. Ryan, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, Junks, first-time listener. I listen to you guys on the radio in the morning all the time. Really love your show. Glad you guys are talking about a win instead of a loss for the first time in a long time.
Right.
I'm a recent graduate of JMU. I graduated in 2018, so I just wanted to give a shout-out to my boy Jimmy Moreland for getting his first career NFL interception, hopefully many more to come. And just general compliments to the defense yesterday. They played super well. Felt like that second interception really kind of demoralized Carson Wentz and really officially shut down the offense for the rest of the game.
Right. A lot of JMU fans were going wild on social media, Case.
As they should.
And I have to tell you, it was a little jarring at first because I believe Moreland and Landon Collins swapped numbers, right, in camp this year. And so it was just a little jarring trying to figure out who was who there for a second.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's
go
to...
So what, 20 and 26?
Yes. Let's go to Rashawn. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Rashawn, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks. How are you, buddy?
How you doing, Rashawn?
What's up, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing this morning?
Good, good.
I want to talk about our secondary, how our secondary plays so well with a backup, with our backup corners and a new starting free safety.
Right. Hey, some big plays. I mean, they got they got behind the defense a couple times early, and I got nervous, but the pressure clearly helped
they
that
adjusted.
Secondary.
Yeah, they adjusted.
But it's going to be the weakness of the team. It's a big change. I mean, if you think about it, last year you start off with Josh Norman, Quentin Dunbar, Monte Nicholson. They're all gone. So it's totally new secondary.
But doesn't mean it's going to be necessarily a drop-off. Josh was poop.
That is correct.
I'm surprised he's on IR, by the way, with a bad hammy. I'm really shocked by that.
Yeah.
Right.
All were improvements. And next week we'll be fine with Kendall Fuller following Hopkins and Troy Apke has to just follow over top.
Well, I don't feel fine with anybody just following Hopkins. I mean, he's a top five receiver in the league.
Yeah, you got to double him.
Yeah.
You got to do your best.
What's Fuller's issue?
I don't know. He was inactive. He must have had some
sort
of injury.
He came in doubtful.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Kevin in Culpeper. Kevin, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys. I thought a big play in the fourth. When the game was still in the balance was, I think it was like 3rd and 5 and Logan Thomas caught it, went down, but didn't get touched. He got back up.
Yes. That was a huge play.
I thought that was just a huge play.
Huge.
And one other question. I just started listening to you guys a minute ago. Did anything happen to Gibson? It seems like he didn't play much there in the second half nearly as much.
They favored Barber in the run game.
Yeah. He wasn't targeted that much in the second half, you're right.
And I was just surprised they went away from him that much. It seemed like they used him a ton in the first half and just kind of didn't use him much at all in the second.
I thought they mixed it up pretty well. I didn't notice that he faded there in the second, but maybe you're right.
I think it's more Rivera just leaning on a vet instead of a younger guy.
Yeah. I certainly saw that early. They gave it to Gibson a couple times, and then they went away from him for a little bit. But then I didn't realize that sort of continued. I think he had a total of, 11 touches? Is that right?
11.
Carries.
Yeah. 2 catches and 9 carries?
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. All right, let's go to...
Didn't get to see my guy Bryce Love. He's clearly the last
He's
man
way down. He's below McKissick, if that's even... Is that possible? Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, but come on. I mean, he's coming back from an injury.
Still coming back from injury, and You'll Rivera see hinted at him, you know, hitting a wall in camp, so he's still got a ways to go.
Speaking of injuries, Fuller was dealing with a knee.
A knee? Okay. All right. All right, let's go to line four. Let's go to Heath. Chesapeake. Heath, what's up, man?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Heath.
What's up?
Hey, been a Redskin fan my whole life, man, and can't remember the last time the Redskins got to the quarterback the way they got to Wentz. And when they had Wentz's feet bouncing, he couldn't set his feet, he couldn't throw the ball right anymore. Hitting him, sacking him, caused two picks. We need to look up when the last time we played an NFC East opponent and intercepted him twice in the game. Probably hasn't happened in forever. And that's all because we got to the quarterback. We get to the quarterback against Arizona, we win again.
Well, that was the key. I mentioned it. 15 quarterback hits and by a bunch of guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matt Ioannidis is leading the way with four and Bostic with three. But everybody got in.
And Wentz was clearly uncomfortable for most of that game.
Yeah. He started out on fire.
First quarter, no. But once they started to get after him, second quarter on, he was uncomfortable. He couldn't step up. You're right.
For years and years, we took calls, really since the Shanahan era, from people saying they got to move to the 4-3. They're in the 3-4. They got to move to the 4-3. To me, it's not about the 3-4 or 4-3, and I always said this. A lot of times they were labeled a 3-4 defense, but they were running a 4-3. The 3-4 might have been their primary difference. Here's the biggest difference. Year after year, they've been drafting guys in the first round on the defensive line. And now you have a defensive line stacked with first-round picks, all first-round picks. And then, depth-wise, they've got Ryan Kerrigan, a first-rounder who's their all-time leading sack guy. They just are super talented on the defensive line. I don't care what system they run. Those guys should be making plays,
and they're
living up to it.
And they also have a coaching staff that now knows what they're doing. Especially defensively.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge difference, too.
I mean, Jay Gruden, but if he were still in charge of that team yesterday, they get boat raced. There's no chance they're coming back from that deficit. I'm sorry.
Correct. But you know what? He's a better coordinator.
Well,
he went out and beat a 9-point favorite yesterday.
What if you had Jay as the head guy and you had Jack Del Rio running the defense and Chase Young? I think Jay could still close that game out.
Might be better, yeah.
Yeah.
I give him kudos for helping the Jags to win yesterday, but I think if he were on the sideline for the Washington football team yesterday, we're having a regular Monday show.
Well, here's where you might be right.
Monday show.
Here's where you might be right, because he never had confidence in Dwayne, and it clearly Rivera believes in him and is willing to ride or die with him at this point.
Right.
And Jay wasn't. Huh?
At this point,
yeah. I mean, who knows? But at this point, yeah. All right, we have to do one more. Let's go to Sean in Richmond, line three. Sean, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jumps.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
Well, there's two key moments that I felt yesterday. One of them's been called out. But I think the first moment that changed everything was when Jonathan Allen got through and hit Wentz, and Wentz's head bounced off his thigh pad. And from it was in the second quarter, about midway through, and from that moment on, Wentz had happy feet. He was inaccurate. They kept flashing the stats, and you could see from that moment, Wentz got his bell rung, and you could see, you know, the towel on his head, and he was shaking his neck and trying to loosen up. I think that's when everything changed. Yeah, they broke him. They finally hit him enough that they broke him. The second one, and it's been called out this morning, was that Jimmy Moreland pick, because in years past, and you guys know this, we wouldn't have broken on the ball like that had the kind of instincts, and there's been questions about Jimmy Moreland, and clearly the coaching has made a difference because he broke on that ball perfectly. You know, he went up and grabbed it out of the receiver's hands almost.
It was a great play.
He did.
It was a great play. Yeah. Hey, we got to run, buddy. We got to run. That was a great play, though.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Coming up next, though, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, and you know what? Maybe we'll give Jay Gruden some shine. His quarterback had – one incompletion in the game.
Shoe mania.
We'll do the Junkies Blitz.
Tell you last year, kick a play.
Here on the Fan.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.